sorry, you're a hot chick. I'm sorry.
All right, whoever wants to start?
I can start. Thank you so much for being here. It seems like the kind of obvious question, but how amazing was it to be Falcon?
It was definitely a... it's hard to explain. It was definitely... Like, you try to find those moments where you can stop and go, you know, have the frozen in the air pose, yay, jump. And this was one of those moments. When I first started acting, I was like, somebody's pissing. Am I the only, I know it's a Disney movie, but, dude, pissing in the coffee. Sorry, mommy bloggers. Like, when I first started acting, I was like, there are two things I want to do. I want to be a superhero, and I want to do a Western, preferably with Clint Eastwood. And Morgan Freeman took my role in Unforgiven. When I got this call, it kind of put things in perspective. You know, I feel like a lot of people are famous for different reasons. Some people are famous because they're handsome. Some people are famous because they're British. I'm very happy that I'm famous because I can act. And I feel like this is my job by God because I deserve it. So it was like one of those, oh, you know. See? Told you. Where's the coupon lady? Oh, she's not.
Oh, she's not here this time.
No, all the old coupon ladies?
No.
I signed up to your site, now I get no damn coupons.
So, thank you for the
time.
Actually, I come from
when you found out you got the role, since you worked with, you know, somebody like Hugh Jackman, who's been in the Marvel, you know, universe for a long time, did you have a call up? Did you, like, give me any pointers?
I did not want to mess up my experience. I completely wanted to come into this naive, ignorant, and, like, my virginal eyes not knowing anything. So when I showed up, you know, it's funny because Sam has done like 15 Marvel movies and Chris and Scarlett have done like 6 each and, you know, Sebastian has done 3. So I was like, you know, don't kill my vibe. Like, I'm having a good time. We're doing a Marvel movie. We get the best craft services. You know, we're in California. You know, we basically shut down the city of Cleveland. So everywhere we went, people were like, you know, so it's like, oh, no, Denzel feels, you know? So I was soaking it up, you know? Chris and I have a very good relationship, and literally it got to the point where we would show up on set, and we were like 7-year-olds. I mean, we had that first day where it's like, dude, we're 35-year-old men in costume. We're the losers. And then the next day, you know, we started making fun of each other, and the next week, done the next month, and then it just turned into this thing where it became infectious, you know, and everybody realized, it's fun when you go to work knowing you're going to make a quality product, because as actors, there's so many people with, you know, daddy issues that mess up movies, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to edit it this way, or I didn't have a girlfriend in high school, so I'm going to do this, and it's like, dude, just make a move, you know, so I feel like this. You know, working with Marvel is one of those studios where you go to work and you know everybody leaves their stuff at the door and they just want to make a good project. So, you know, once we got over our suits.
Chris just said, you know, the set was at the same time.
No, we had a good time.
So speaking of your the costume, was it wire work or
It was no fun. The hardest working actors in Hollywood are flying superheroes. I said it. I don't care what Thor says with his hammer. I don't care what Wolverine. If you fly, it sucks. And, you know, it's just the simple stuff. We had a, I loved my costume. I loved everything about it. I love doing stunts. I have the best stunt man in the business. We've done like 5 movies together. And literally, it's like that Daffy Duck Bugs Bunny cartoon where, like, the missile is coming and Daffy's, Bugs Bunny's like, pause, that one puts Daffy in. And he just takes every, the brunt of every hit for me. And I love it. And there was, my first day on set, like, there's nothing natural about flying to humans. Like, there's nothing we do that's like flying, you know? So my first day on set, I walk in, I'm like, what's up, yo, Falcon in the building, what's up? Right? And so I get up on, like, a 60-foot platform. And I'm like, all right, let's do this, you know, brother in the building. And they said, all right, stand on the edge of the platform, there's a jet coming at you. We want you to stand up, turn around, shoot your guns, and jump backwards, head first, into this mat from 60 feet in the air. And I'm like, whoa. The first day is usually like walking down a hallway, or like eating or something, you know, just to break you in, not jumping on the platform to your death. So, you know, once we did that in the smoldering heat of the day, I kind of knew what I was in for. And it just got worse from there. Really painful and exhausting. But Aaron Tony, my stuntman, literally, I mean, he fell out of a car at 40 miles an hour. He got messed up on this movie. So kudos to him. Salmon, chicken, tuna fish, asparagus, and a cup of brown rice at noon every day.
Oh.
For 3 months. I did in high school. Yeah, high school football.
Yeah.
High school football. I'm a sexist. Come on. when we play high school football, we used to do these things called two-a-day.
Yep.
And basically, 6 a.m. you wake up. And you know, get ready to go to the gym for an hour, and you do cardio, just like James Bond shit. And then you come home, and you just rest and eat every 3 hours. Now, at 7 p.m., you go to the gym and literally lift it. Whatever you can find, you lift it for about an hour and a half. And then you go home and go to sleep. And then you wake up and do it again for 3 months. And it was by far the most... I mean, it's a lifestyle, you know. Fitness is a lifestyle. You have to eat a certain way, you have to do a certain thing, you have to live a certain way. So, you know, me and my homeboy Jack Daniels stopped talking. no more pizza, like all the things I love. Me and my girlfriend Haagen-Dazs broke up. She French, she was crazy. So I had to contain myself, and then I show up, and you know, Chris looks like a Greek god, and I'm feeling good about myself. I'm like spandex ready, you know. And I show up, and he's like Captain, you know, tiny ass. How'd you get your ass that small? It's that big, you know. And I'm like man size, you know? The whole building. And I look at his little, and I'm like, why did you do? What did you do? My costume on, everybody's like, damn, we're gonna have to let out the ass. But I made it through. We got back together with my girlfriend, and Hagi Daisa. So it was a grueling 3 months. And then you come and it was great. It was the first time I put that costume on. I mean, literally, I couldn't stop smiling. I was running around the room. It's like I said, it's one of those moments where, you know, you just have to allow yourself to enjoy it. At certain point in time, you just have to. It's like the first time I met Prince. Like, I was like, oh my God, it's Prince. No, I'm cool.
Yeah.
You just have to allow yourself to be in the moment and enjoy it. And You know, it was my costume was it was 45 minutes to get in it. It was like 5 minutes to get out of it because, you know, I was like, oh god. But it was fun. I really took every moment to enjoy being a superhero. So yeah, it was a good time.
There's been lots of guy talk. What was it like being with Scarlett Johansson?
I love your
makeup. Oh, thank you. I love your
too. Go ahead, what?
What was it like working with Scarlett Johansson? I mean, we've heard all about boys.
It was fun. You know, Scarlett is just a regular chick. Like, it's weird. You expect her to be a diva or high maintenance or catty or need this or just so an actress. But she's a regular chick, and she's really low maintenance and cool and fun to be around, and you know, she just goes with the flow. And you know, I guess that comes with being, you know, because she's extremely talented. So I feel like a lot of people compensate for not being talented with being bitchy, but she's really talented. So she's just like, Scarlett Johansson, let's make it happen. And I was like, oh, you're Scarlett Johansson. That's pretty much, you know, the crew and everybody is just. She walks on the set and all the dudes are like, So it was fun. It was a lot of fun. She's a very, really down to earth, fun, cool, just regular chick.
How do you feel about being the first African American superhero?
You know, it's funny you should ask that. it's cool. I feel like, you know, when I was a kid, I really didn't have that, you know, person I could look at,
right,
other than my dad, and be like, hey, I want to be that guy and fly through the window,
right,
you know, and you couldn't be like 7 years old and say, who do you want to be for Halloween, Shaft, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's really exciting looking at the biggest thing, and it always makes me emotional. I mean, when I first got this role, I just cried like a baby because I was like, wow, next Halloween, I'm gonna open the door, and it's gonna be a little kid dressed as the Falcon.
Yep.
You know, and that's the thing that always gets me. It's always, right. So I feel like everybody deserves that. I feel like there should be a Latino superhero. It should be, you know, I feel like Scarlett does great representation for all the little girls, but there should be a Wonder Woman movie. I don't care if it makes $20. If there's a movie you're gonna lose money on, make it Wonder Woman. You know what I mean?
Right.
The little girls deserve that. They need, there's so many of these little people out here doing awful things for money,
right,
in the world of being famous, and little girls see that.
Right.
They should have the opposite spectrum of that to look up to.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm just trying to go with the flow with it. You know, like, funny story, there's this craft store called Michael's.
Yes.
I don't know where y'all
are. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. My sister knits, so she goes to Michael's. And every now and then I'll go there. So my sister called me, and she's like, oh my God, I'm at Michael's picking up Yawn, and you have a poster at Michael's. I'm like, what? She's like, there's a poster, there's a Falcon poster at Michael's. I'm like, holy shit. She's like, we're gonna pick you up, and we're gonna see your poster in the store. I was like, man, this is my oldest sister. Like, so she picks me up, we get in the car, we go to Michael's, we hurry up, we get to Michael's. We go in, and I see the poster, and I'm like, holy shit. She's like, I know. I said, I'm gonna sign these posters.
Oh.
I was like, that would be amazing. You buy a poster and it's like actually signed by the Falcon.
Yes.
Like, I would, it would blow my mind.
Yeah.
So I go to the front, I buy a Sharpie, I run back to the back of the store, and she's like, oh, I'm gonna take a picture, you signing it. So,
oh.
I mean, so I'm in the store and I'm signing all the posters. The manager comes back, he's like, hey, what you doing? I'm like, oh man, I'm signing these posters so when people buy them, they're signed. He's like, well, people are not gonna buy them if they're signed. And I was like, no, it's cool, I'm pretty sure it won't be a problem.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, buddy, it's going to be a problem. You're messing up my inventory. I'm like, nah, my man, trust me. That's me. And he goes, yeah, right. You're going to buy those posters. I said, what? He's like, you're going to buy all those posters. I'm going to call the police. I'm like, what the fuck? Get the posters for people to buy. Trust me, it's gone. He's like, let's go to the front. You're buying the posters. He rolls up all the posters and goes to the front of the store. And I have to buy like 60 Falcon posters that I signed in my Michael's. So you all are proud recipients of the signed Falcon posters from Michael's. enjoying it, man. I mean, there's so many, you know, bad things that happen as entertainers and actors that I feel like when something good happens, you should take full advantage of.
Absolutely. Thank you.
No, I'm going to go back. As soon as I'm doing a screening in New Orleans, and the first invitation I sent out was to the manager of Michael's. Like, my sister getting a free yawn, and you giving me my money back. Well, I stayed, you know, the Falcon is interesting because if you look at the Falcon, the reason I commend Marvel for putting the Falcon in this movie is the Falcon's history is something very unique to the comic book world. Because usually in comic books, they'll introduce a character. If it doesn't hit, they'll just let him fall off into the sunset. But with the Falcon, Marvel made a unique choice to get him right. So he had about 3 or 4 different incarnations in the life of the comic book. So if you read, like in the 60s, he was a drug dealing hustler from Harlem that moved to California and became a pimp. And flew to Brazil to pick up some drugs, crashed, and was drugged into a lab and made the Falcon. Then, you know, there was the second incarnation, then the third incarnation, where he became a military technician and, you know, a military expert, and then the Falcon that we know now. So as African-American culture evolved in America, so did the Falcon. And that's very unusual, not only for the Falcon, but for anybody or any character in any movie or anything. So I tried to stay away from the source material because I felt like what the writers gave me with this was a very, you know, it's the introduction of the Falcon, so whatever I give you, that's who he is for all the time in all of Marvel movies. So I just took what I had in the script and worked primarily on that. I felt like the military history he had and the relationship he has with Steve in this movie is much more important than who he was in the comic books, because I felt like if that relationship was grounded in truth and it worked, the rest of the movie would work. So I really just focused on, you know, that, you know, what exactly are the side effects and repercussions of PTSD? How exactly do you overcome that? And when it's overcome, is it like drugs? Is it a work in progress every day? Or is it like something once you're over it and I'm good? Or is it person to person? Stuff like that. I just asked a bunch of different questions along those lines. So a lot of my research came from soldiers I've met during Hurt Locker and doing, like, you know, charitable work with the Navy and stuff. So I just emailed a bunch of guys and got a lot of stuff online, a lot of videos, a lot of depositions with soldiers coming back and just talking about their experiences and where they are now. And just use that stuff and just try to ground him in the history that was him as opposed to the history that was the comic book.
That's awesome.
Cool.
If you'd be so nice to take a quick photo with them, they'd love that.
So the coupon lady, I'm waiting on James.